This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us today. Well, together with the elements, we can be pretty tough on our skin. And after all it does for us, it holds us together, after all, and it protects us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about skin care, skin itself, and diseases of the skin. Our guest is Dr. Ann Tice. She's a dermatologist with the Hada Cosmetic Medicine Clinic in Champaign. Prior to joining Hada, she was with Carl Clinic and served as the head of the Division of Dermatology from 1987 to 2002. Dr. Tice has been a regular guest on our morning telephone talk program, Focus 580, and we're happy to have her here this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, your questions about skin and skin care are invited. Join us with a telephone call. The one thing to keep in mind is that the doctor can't see you over the telephone, but she is happy to share her knowledge and expertise with you. Here are the telephone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Dr. Tice, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Hada?
Yes.
Can you tell us what that means?
Well, what it means is it's Japanese for skin. So okay. I think the owner named it that way, and she assures me it does not mean a rude version of skin, but just normal skin care.
Okay, very good. Well, I've seen the ads in the newspaper, and they're lovely, and they have kind of an Asian feel to them.
They do, and the atmosphere and the furnishings on the inside are really quite spectacular. It's an Asian feel there, too.
Yeah. At this time of the year, preventing and treating sun exposure, sunburn are on our minds, have our attention. Is the recommendation today to always use a sunscreen? Can we do a little tanning?
Well, actually, if you always use a sunscreen, you'll get a little tan through that. Now, I'm not recommending a tan. In fact, I'm probably one of the few people that does not wish to be tan. But if you're out a lot, even if you're using excellent sun protective measures, it doesn't take very much to get tan. And yes, the recommendations are to always wear a sunscreen year in or day in, day out. During the wintertime, you may not have to wear as high a number of sunscreen, but if you are like snow skiing or an outdoor enthusiast, yes, then you should probably have higher numbers. And there are a few newer things in sunscreens now. They've had some great improvements that are more broad spectrum. And I might even want to tell you my very favorite one right now.
Okay.
That'd be okay? I have no vested interest in any product here, but the companies have been trying to get sunscreens that last longer and are stronger. If you look for something, say, with what's called a physical block in it, that's titanium dioxide or the microfine zinc oxide, yes, they're kind of whitish, but they are a long, long ways from the old lifeguard white nose that I remember growing up. Those shield a lot more parts of the sun that can give you skin cancers, wrinkling, and aging. And then Neutrogena has come out with what I think is a great product. It has what they have branded as Helioplex. It's a combination of several sunscreens that are now stable and last longer. We had a big innovation in sunscreens, probably 7 to 8 years ago. We finally got one that would help ultraviolet A radiation, which is what comes in through windows, and which is what is the main ingredients in tanning sun lamps, tanning bed sun lamps. Well, the chemical that we'd use for that only lasted about 45 minutes. That's not very long. So Neutrogena has figured out how to make it stable to last longer. Now, I was just reading yesterday, this is in a ladies' home journal or something like that, not my dermatology journal, that Banana Boat is claiming that they have a long-lasting sunscreen out too. Now, I've not tried that. I saw it yesterday, so I can't comment on that. But I know the Neutrogena, my favorite one is Neutrogena has a couple names, Ultra Sheer or Dry Touch, because when it goes on, it doesn't feel as goopy as a lot of the old ones did. And they have either a 55 or a 57 that I think are great.
Okay, 55, that's the number?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean a blanket springs out of the bottle and goes over your head, but it is a fairly high protective number. And they're even, I think they're going to be getting a 70-something coming out, too. I don't know. I haven't seen that on the market yet, though.
Yeah. No, these Neutrogena products that you mentioned, are they okay for the face?
Oh, absolutely. No, okay. I recommend that. Now, if you're not having an excessive amount of sun exposure, you're just kind of going to work or you're running errands, you're not like walking outside or going to the beach or whatever, it would be fine to put, there's many companies that have a variety of facial sunscreens on, and you want to protect the face. If you have short hair, protect the ears too, and then the sides of the neck and down to the open part of the blouse or shirt area, because we do get a lot of sun damage there right at the V of the neck.
Yeah, and that's something that we often forget about until we look in the mirror and go,
oh, yeah.
Look what I forgot.
It's kind of tan pink on the side of my neck.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's years of sun exposure.
But, you know, my concern is sometimes my face is a little oily, and I have to be careful what I put on my face because I can break out.
Right. Well, for any cosmetic, sunscreen or not, or moisturizer, the magic word I hope that you could look for would be called non-comedogenic, N-O-N, then C-O-M-E-D-O. G-N-I-C, non-comedogenic. That means it won't clog the pores. Or nowadays, they're trying to make it a little less scientific and say non-acnogenic, in other words, not increasing acne. So look for that. But a lot of your products, Neutrogena, Oil of Olay, some of the products we carry at HADA, a lot of those are specifically made so they don't give you more pimples and so they aren't that heavy a feeling for a day-to-day moisturizer with sunscreen.
Okay, very good. Let's talk with a listener. Someone calling in this afternoon from Rockford. Line 4, hi.
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 I was calling. My dad listens to your radio station, and he said there's going to be a dermatologist on today. So I have a little boy who's going to be 3 years old, and his skin is really sensitive. When I was younger, mine was the same. When I would get bites, they would get really big, and he's had a couple bites that look like they were mosquito bites. He's outside a lot, and they would start off as just looking like a regular mosquito bite, and then with a day or two, they would be like a half-dollar size, round,
right.
Welt. And I'm a nurse, so I've worked in situations where I've seen spider bites, so it didn't ever look like a spider bite or like it was radiating. And then gradually, after a few days, it wouldn't itch at all, but it would be very tender to the touch. They'd get a yellow head, and if I get him in the bathtub and there was a lot of warm water and I could kind of just touch it a little bit, I could actually get a lot of pus coming out, and then I could put some calamine or something and it would dry up. But he's had a couple of the bigger bites, and then looks like little gnat bites or something. They'd come in threes. He's gotten those, and they all just seem to get these huge welts and then these yellow pustules, and the only way they seem to go away is when I can kind of get the top off them and push on them just a little bit and put some drying stuff.
Well, I can make a couple of comments on that. There's actually a very well-known, to dermatologists, reaction that particularly little kids get to insect bites, and it's called papular, which means bump, and urticaria, which means hive-like. It's not actually a hive, but they can get some amazingly big lumps after a very simple insect bite, and any insect can do this. It doesn't have to be anything particular. Now, adults will get this occasionally if they travel outside their area. The classic is that somebody goes on vacation to Florida, and the adults even get these huge things. My kids had this once when we traveled to Florida. I don't know if it was sand fleas or what, but my goodness, one of my kids, the other one didn't get it. One did. One was more sensitive. It looked like half of an egg sticking out of his skin. It was absolutely huge.
Exactly.
And with these severe insect bite reactions, because it is a reaction to the insect bites, many times they'll get a little vesicle, fluid filled, and it can look a little bit pussy on the top. So you can get a blister response to a very common insect. And you're right. Some people will be more sensitive than others. But little kids particularly tend to get this exaggerated response. I won't say that you could not get an infection, because any miniature wound to the skin from a scratch to a bug bite, staph is, loves warm, moist conditions. And you can get impetigo on it. But pretty much what you're describing is classical for what's called papular urticaria. Now, there's no way to prevent that, and you want to, with a little guy, use more of the children's-based insect protectants, because the DEET ones, we get worried about them having, like, deep woods off because of the absorption of the DEET insect repellent in that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know of any way to make that not happen. I know I was fairly horrified when that happened to my kid, because there were a lot of them. And, of course, we didn't notice it until we were going home on the plane.
Sure.
So it may take several days to build that response. If it does not look infected, I'll treat with a prescription-strength cortisone product. But yes,
I've got this stuff that the pharmacist recommended. It's called loratadine oral solution, once a day, antihistamine.
Oh, loratadine. Yeah, that helps itching. That's okay. An antihistamine, and it's blocking some of that response, but it won't block all of it because there's some little bit different chemical responses going in that with the delayed bug bite reaction.
So there's really nothing I can do about it?
Try to protect him, the covering up, wearing real light clothing that is shielding so that little buggers don't get him.
But once he does get
And then, once he does get him, cortisone products usually are helpful.
Just a hydrocortisone.
Yeah, that's a start over the counter. A lot of times I use prescription strengths because you many times need a little bit stronger one.
As a cream or as a oral?
Cream.
A cream. Okay.
And there have been rare cases where I've had adults or kids come back from other areas that got, I had 20, 30 of these on their bodies. I did use a short course of oral steroids, but for routine, like 3 to 4 bites, I wouldn't do that. Okay. And not a little guy.
Yeah, I mean, I keep it clean and dry, and I've just started telling where he goes to school, telling them, when he's outside in the grass, just to spray a little off around the outside of him, just to help.
Or you can spray it on their clothes.
You're right.
Because then it's not getting so much on their skin, but it's a big problem. Keeping the grass mowed and lower is helpful, too.
Yeah.
Maybe have him play out in the open and not near the bushes or tall weeds.
He's really just in the grass. So, he does crawl under things sometimes.
You don't have a dog or a kitty at home, do you?
I don't, no.
Okay, all right.
And nowhere that he goes is there one. So okay. Because it looked like the second set, when they came in threes, I thought that might be, flea-like, but...
But yes, you're right. It's impressive when little kids get these big bites.
Will he outgrow that?
It tends to improve with age. But then, as I mentioned, you could have any kind of adult that goes outside of their area because the antigens in the bugs are different. And then they can respond pretty big to that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are invited, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. That's 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, dermatologist Dr. Ann Tice. My name is Celeste Quinn. Speaking of little guys, what about sunscreen recommendations for the little folks?
Well, if they're under 6 months, you're not really supposed to have them going outside to try to tan, so you try to keep them out. When they get older, like, say, toddler age, it's nice if you can get, say, one of the children's formulas for sunscreens. Really, after about 3 years of age, if you don't think they're going to be, ingesting it or anything, I think some of the adult sunscreens are okay. And there's a couple new things out. Now, there's one thing that is interesting that we may start carrying at our Hada Cosmetic Medicine. It's a kind of like a dial-up brush that has a powder on it, and that functions as a sunscreen. It's completely mineral, and there's like a 20 and a 30 SPF of sunscreen, it's non-toxic, it's a mineral-based. That would be completely okay to put on a little, even a baby's skin, which I thought that was kind of neat. And then there's another new thing, a couple other tacks for sun protection. This is not just with children. We can answer some calls, but yeah. I want to mention sometime antioxidants are a new idea, not only things that you put on the face, but also there's a new antioxidant pill that you can take that will help you not get as much damage from the sun that does get through your sunscreen. So there's cool things going on.
Okay, well, let's take some calls now. Let's go next to someone on campus, line one. Hi.
Hi. This doesn't have anything to do with summer skin care, but I'm calling because my husband's been diagnosed with seborrheic dermatitis.
Mm-hmm.
He has sort of these hard, crusty patches on his scalp. It's not really flaky, dandruffy stuff, and he doesn't seem to have a lot of dandruff. He's been using the Selsun Blue shampoo for a while. It doesn't seem to be doing anything, so I wonder if that's a wrong diagnosis or whether he should use a different treatment.
Well, there's a couple of things that might be going on. Seborrheic dermatitis is a real common condition. Some people may just have itchy scalp, they may have flaky scalp, or there may be some real thick adherent scales with that. Often it's associated with some peely flakies in the eyebrow area and maybe around the crevice of the nose and the outside of the nose, too, for some people. And you may just have it one area, not all areas. I like to have people use a shampoo with 2% zinc in it. The Salsom Blue is, there's several different ingredients that help it, but I like 2% zinc. I think the new Head & Shoulders Dandruff Care is a 2% zinc, and my old favorite I've had my husband on for 30 years is something called DHS with zinc. It's a shampoo we get at the pharmacy.
Okay.
That was rumored to maybe keep hair longer in men, so maybe not go bald, but I don't know if that's true. Anyway, but the first thing to do is shampoo with the right shampoo often enough every day. If he's still doing that and it's not going away, he may need a prescription-strength cortisone lotion or foam to put on at night and then shampoo it out in the morning. And there are some other conditions that will mimic this. It would be pretty darn unusual for an adult to have a fungus infection on the scalp. That's usually kids.
Okay.
But I'll throw it out, but I really wouldn't think of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a psoriasis sometimes will have real resistant flaky spots on the scalp. Typically with that, there may be a family history, and you often have a rash on the elbows and knees.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the seborrheic dermatitis, I don't usually see with a rash on elbows and knees. But well, both would be treated the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like in other areas, not his eyebrows, no other areas. And it's more like a hard, crusty thing.
Yeah, it can get fairly thick. And you may not have involvement at the other areas.
Okay.
But I would try to get a 2% zinc shampoo somewhere. And if that doesn't work, I'd ask your primary care doctor for a prescription-strength cortisone to put on at night. And doggone it, you can get it under control, but I will never tell somebody that I'm going to give them something and boom, it's going to be gone in a month or whatever.
Okay.
It's annoying. It tends to be on again, off again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But don't try to scrape off those places or anything like that.
Oh, I probably wouldn't do that. I mean, initially, you can do it with a little fine-tooth comb, but you don't want to be scratching it enough to then make the skin respond by getting thicker and more flaky, which can happen if you're after it all the time.
But if just using this like twice a week hasn't been working, it's okay to use it every day for a while?
Oh, goodness. Twice a week would never keep up with it.
Okay.
You got to do it every day. The average time for that flake to come back in full force is 3 days.
Okay.
So if you're shampooing every 3 days, you're never going to keep on top of it. Need to do it every day.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
That might help.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign. Hello.
Hello. I had a question about my daughter had some sun exposure. I wasn't home one day, and she went to the pool without sunscreen, and she was there for about 3 hours.
And how old is she?
She's 12.
Okay.
And she didn't look too burned when she came home. She has very olive skin, and she didn't look too burned when she came home, although she kind of felt sensitive. She went to bed, and the next morning she woke up, and her eyes were swollen almost shut, and her skin was very puffy and textured, kind of all over her face and her a little bit on her chest.
And you know that she was only out there for 3 hours?
Yeah, from like 1 till 4, and we weren't sure. My husband is a nurse, but she kept thinking it was the sunscreen she had used the day before that she was reacting to, my husband kind of has had a history of having what he calls sun poisoning, where he has a similar kind of reaction with too much exposure to the sun. And I wondered if you thought that might have been what happened.
Now, it was on her face and where else?
A little bit on her chest.
But not so much on the arms?
No, but she was probably in and out of the pool, you know.
But she had, she didn't have like a long sleeve shirt on over her arms or something.
No.
Well, that's a little unusual. Yes, it's easy to burn in 3 hours, but to have extreme swelling and only of limited areas is a little different. And you can have, there's several different things that can make up what's called sun poisoning. I am not offhand aware of the traditional one being a family thing, but yes, it certainly could happen. And you get a mix of all sorts of crazy things. Of any cologne sprays or perfume sometimes will trigger an excessive reaction.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you can get sensitive to some sunscreens. If that's mainly where she was using it and she didn't use it on her arms, I would be suspect about that. You can have an allergy to the sunscreens with or without the sun. And then there's what's called a photosensitive eczema, where people are just really sensitive and they'll get bumpy, itchy areas and an exaggerated response. If this continues to happen, just medically, okay, this would probably not be a common thing, but medically I should mention it, that you might want to check with your primary care doctor, because sometimes people that get extremely easy sunburning may have a condition called lupus. And that would be very, very unlikely, but
right.
I at least should bring that up.
Right. I don't think she has never had a sunburn, you know,
okay.
pretty much, because she's worn sunscreen her whole life.
Yeah.
And so that was what concerned me, is that because this particular time she hadn't had the sunscreen on, that maybe she had some kind of hypersensitivity without protection. But her skin is very dark
uh-huh.
normally, and so she doesn't seem to burn very quickly anyway.
Well, you could have, I mean, there's a variety of factors. Anything
yeah.
that's put on the skin, including the sunscreen, sometimes does that, and
okay.
then that so-called sun poisoning type thing could, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Can I ask one other question?
Sure.
New topic. And by the way, thank you so much for providing this service. It's really wonderful.
No, it's my pleasure.
I am 40-something, and I stand in front of a myriad of preparations at the drugstore looking for the career.
You've got two women are laughing along with you here.
I mean, there's hundreds of choices, and I just want a basic, you know, everyday face cream that maybe will prevent me from looking too old too fast kind of thing, and also protect me from the sun. And I wondered if you could maybe narrow down the ingredients or choices in any way of something that might be kind of an anti-wrinkle or anti-aging.
Okay. It used to be easy years ago. There weren't as many choices, or at least there were a lot of choices, and a lot of them were hogwash, as my dad
right.
used to say. But yes, it's overwhelming. I mean, if it confuses me, and I go to every cosmetic dermatology meeting, how could a normal person walk into a store and go, ooh, that one's for me? Well, I will tell you that key to keeping your skin looking better, sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreens, and I do like Neutrogena and Oil of Olay. If you could tolerate a product called Retin-A or Renova, those are prescriptions. That is the gold standard for helping the skin stay good. It may slow down wrinkles. It may even out some of the pigment problems. Unfortunately, for the people that are light-complected, they tend to get irritated with it. But that is a prescription, and you need to know exactly how to use it so you don't get irritated. But that is better than anything else anywhere.
And so, like, the over-the-counter Retin-A isn't as good?
Well, yeah, a whole lot of that Retin-A and da-da-da-da-da, we have vitamin A in it, it's not stable. There are a few companies that have retinol, R-E-T-I-N-O-L. There are just a few that are stable. There's something called SkinCeuticals that's stable, and it works. La Roche-Posay has something called ROC, R-O-C.
Oh, yeah.
That one is worthwhile. And there may be a couple of others, too. I mean, like, if you go into a medical spa, they will be having the over-the-counter versions, and you don't have to have an appointment. You could just kind of go in and ask, you know, what you could buy. Those are all right, too. But there is nothing to replace the prescription strength if you can tolerate that. So a Retin-A, Renova, or Retinol, I'm clumping those all together, are, I think, the best products. And then
okay.
there's a whole bunch of other ones that do a little bit of good. You know, the Oil of Olay Regenerist has science behind it, so that's not bad. It's not one of the strongest ones. In our Hada Cosmetic Spa, we have a number of other things that are antioxidants that I think are a little better than some of the other counter ones. But you want to start out with a good sunscreen by, you know, company of your choice, and then something with retinol in it if you possibly can. Now, retinol rips my skin up. And that's too bad, because it may also slow down precancerous changes, and I think it's very sad that I can't use that.
Mm.
So I use a glycolic acid product, and again, there's a million of them out there, and a lot of them don't do any good. The brand I like is called MD Forte, F-O-R-T-E. And so I use that in place, and that's usually, you can only get it in doctor's offices. A couple of the spas have a very low strength of it, but MD Forte is what I've used for about 18 years.
Okay.
And then I'm real happy with some of these, what are they, antioxidants. Like, there's a vitamin C, vitamin E thing that we sell that I like. But,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener in Charleston on line 3. Hi.
Yes, hi. I have a skin condition that's been diagnosed as tinea versicolor.
Yeah.
And the treatment I've had in the past has been like a liquid solution that has a lot of sulfur in it, some kind of like sulfur selenium or something, and
yep.
you leave it on and then bathe it off. But the trouble with using it as often as you need to is that it's really hard to get that sulfur smell off of your skin.
It's all stinky, you're right.
I searched the internet and came up with some product called Tetrasil, and I wondered if you'd ever heard of it, and I wonder if you just could tell me what you know about the treatment of tinea of various colors on my inner arms and on my trunk.
Okay.
And I'll listen on the radio for your answer.
All righty then. This is a common condition. Tinea means fungus and versicolor means varied colors. And so when it's this time of year when people get tan, there may be a lighter patch there with a little bit of fine flake. And in the winter, those areas may be kind of a pinkish color. So they vary in the color a little bit. Very common. Resistant, loves some people. I mean, you can be perfectly healthy and have this. But it does like to recur in some people. And the traditional thing has been a selenium 2.5 prescription selenium sulfide stinky shampoo. And it is stinky. There's a couple new products out. There's something called Tinver, T-I-N-V-E-R, that's a lotion that doesn't have the bad smell. There was some work done on a ZNP bar. It's a bar of soap, and it has a zinc in it. And that company, I believe that's still available over the counter, ZNP. That company was saying that if you suds up and you leave it on for, say, 10 minutes, 3-4 days in a row, that it may be helpful too. One thing that you could ask your regular doctor about, if this is really quite annoying, is there are some pill antifungals that if you are in good health otherwise, make it a lot easier to treat it. I usually will try the stinky stuff or some of these other liquid products first, but if it's resistant and it just keeps coming back and everybody's getting frustrated, I may try something called a pill called oral Nizoral, N-I-Z-O-R-A-L. And it's just a matter of taking a pill a day for several days, and it may help it go away much more effectively than trying to soap up everything, which also gets your skin dry.
Okay.
So that's that. But it's not a harmful condition.
Well, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk with a listener in Urbana. On line one, hi.
Hi. I have had seborrheic dermatitis for a long time, and I finally managed to not have to buy prescription shampoo. And what I do is I use Head & Shoulders every time I shower. And what I do is I rinse, suds, rinse, and repeat. And I leave it on that second time for about 5 minutes.
That's exactly what we tell people to do.
Right, so while I'm washing the rest of me, then that stuff is seeping in. And I used to have it on my nose, between my eyebrows. And that to me has been just fabulous, because it's easy. I can buy it at, any place.
Mm-hmm.
And it has completely taken care of it. I mean, I haven't seen this for maybe 10 years at least.
Well, that's great. And you're doing exactly what I had mentioned to the other listeners. You're using it every day. And you're right. If you have it on your scalp, if you can leave it on for several minutes before you rinse it out, that's beneficial. And they also improve the Head and Shoulders. It used to be a 1% zinc, and now it's 2%, which is what I've recommended for many years. So you're doing everything right. Good.
Cool. Now, I have another question. What can you tell me about, I know this sounds like some monster from outer space, bullous pemphigoid?
Bullous pemphigoid is a serious skin condition, and it often will happen in older individuals. They think there's a cousin variant that may happen in women when they're pregnant, but typically the traditional bullous pemphigoid are blisters that occur on the skin. It may be just a few, but it can be very serious if there's quite a number of them. And it tends to occur in the elderly, which have a problem with it. Anybody that has extensive blisters all over their body, it gets concerning, because you don't have good protection from the environment. And it's some type of an inflammatory condition, and usually the treatments are pretty aggressive for it, too.
Do you... my husband, who doesn't think of himself as elderly, and neither do I, has this, but it's just on his head. Are there?
Oh, there's variants that you can get blistering conditions.
That's what we read.
Right. I mean, the traditional bullous pemphigoid it can happen, younger, but, it usually tends to be older people. I'm not old. I'm 55. So whatever. Always never be old until there's someone else older than us. But there are some localized versions that may just affect certain areas. Like there's a different condition, but a cousin in that family that may only be in the mouth or in the eyes. Yeah. So I would hope that that was diagnosed with a biopsy by a dermatologist.
It was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so right. But there's just, I mean, he uses a steroid cream, I think, on it.
Yeah.
But nothing else that can be done, no. You know, does sun make it more difficult?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes sun exposure can make it worse. There are a few medicines that seem to give you a blistering eruption. It's always nice to review a person's medicine to make sure that's not a problem.
Yeah, he's not taking any medicine.
But there are times where it may just be limited to one area, thank goodness, because it's not fun to have that all over.
Okay, so we should just be thankful and deal with what we've got.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And with limited areas, a topical steroid may be all that you need. Otherwise, you're getting into some pretty big-time medicines like oral steroids, lots of side effects, and all these new medicines that suppress the immune system, which are...
Oh, yeah, not good.
Tricky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, I hadn't been counting my blessings about this, but now I think I am. So thank you very much.
Okay.
You're very welcome. Next, we talk with a listener on line 2 in Urbana. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Ann Tice.
Hello and good afternoon. I'm wondering about the effectiveness of coenzyme Q10 creams on wrinkles and the skin. They've been advertised in the alternative supplement catalogs, and wonder what you think about that. Thanks for taking the call. I'll listen off air.
Okay, fine. Thank you. This is one of many, many ingredients that might do a little bit of good. There are tons and tons of things out there. Retinol is still the gold standard, but depending upon what company it is and what the stabilization of it, which gets very complicated, CoQ10 can make a little bit of help. For instance, I think Eucerin, E-U-C-E-R-I-N, had a product with CoQ10, and a lot of other people have made it. And that tends to be a little bit helpful for aging. The problem is it's really hard to know how these companies have processed it. Is it high enough strength? Is it a stable version? To make sure that the vehicle, the cream they put it in, doesn't neutralize it. So it just gets real complicated now. It's very annoying for me to go to meetings because you can't wade through all this stuff that people are saying. And the darn thing is about some of these over-the-counter products, if they were to do very good scientific testing, which I usually want to see before I recommend something, then all of a sudden their product is not an over-the-counter product. It is then a drug. And so the companies don't really want to do good testing to show, does this stuff really work, our particular product, because it'll turn into a drug, then the FDA will come in, they'll have to have a prescription. So there are a lot of unanswered questions, but the short version of it is, yes, some versions of CoQ10 can be good. And I know Eucerin had some posters at one of our meetings that showed a little bit of help with it. Is it going to make big wrinkles go away? Absolutely not. Nothing I know outside of surgery will. Maybe some lasers might. But creams can help just a tiny bit, and CoQ10 might be one of those.
Yeah. Eucerin, I've used that in the wintertime when my skin is really dry for body lotion.
And, well, there's a million zillion kinds of Eucerin.
It seems to me it's been a pretty good, it's worked for me.
It's a good product. It used to only have a real heavy, greasy moisturizer, which was great for super dry skin, but now that the company's expanded
lighter.
And they're making a this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Hello, is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Oh, I just tuned in the middle of the conversation about the Head and Shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered what the problem was that she was using the Head and Shoulders for.
What's called seborrheic dermatitis, commonly known as dandruff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Common to many people.
Yeah, and so you just wash your hair once, and then you rinse it out, and then put another... Application of the Head and Shoulders.
You could either do that, or you could just shampoo up once and leave it on for several minutes as you're soaping other areas, and then rinse it out. You don't always have to shampoo twice.
Oh, okay.
But once would be enough. You can leave it on for several minutes while you're taking a shower bath. That helps it penetrate a little bit better and work better.
Uh-huh.
And the new one has the 2% zinc, so that's helpful for itchy scalp or flaky scalps.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. That's
you're
very
welcome.
Bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in Munster, Indiana. Line 4, hi.
Hello. I was calling. I have a condition known as prurigo nodularis, and I was wondering if you knew if there was any new medications out there to treat it.
Well, this is a very tough, resistant condition. Prurigo means itchy, and nodularis means bump. So how scientific is that for a diagnosis, itchy bump? Great. Well, in my mind, I think of it as being a severe form of eczema. Some people just get little light, flaky eczema that itches a little bit, but the prurigo nodularis is you get thickened areas that are extremely itchy, and doggone it, the more you itch it, the worse it gets. The skin responds by getting thicker and more itchy and lumpier. It's a tough condition to treat. I'd say about 80% of the treatment is not scratching it. And that's a pretty tall order for some people when this little condition irritates people a lot as far as the itching goes. The traditional things have been cortisones, either creams or injections into it with cortisone, which I thought has been more helpful than others, but then there's a couple side effects of that. There's been a couple other creams out there, and golly, and a few really severe examples. I've only seen this in magazines. I would not recommend that. They have even suggested thalidomide, you know, thalidomide, the stuff that was terrible for ladies that were pregnant,
right,
as a way to block the itching. Well, I just don't think we ought to be giving that to people, and probably you couldn't get it anyway. But that just goes to show you the extent of how tough this condition is.
Yes.
There were some little steroid pieces of tape. One brand name was called Cordran, C-O-R-D-R-A-N, and that's just a cortisone, a surface cortisone stuck in tape. And that is actually a little helpful to cut out a patch of that and put it over the bumped areas, because then when you go to itch it, you'll see that and you won't be scratching as much, plus it's being treated. But most of the time we rely on prescription cortisone creams or injections or that tape. Another couple things, just a little information about itch that may or may not help you. The same nerve fiber that carries the sensation of itching carries vibration and cold. That's why when you put menthol or alcohol, please do not do that, though. When that evaporates, it feels cool, and then it fools the nerve into thinking it isn't itching. I do not recommend that, but a baggie of ice chips could be helpful to temporarily fool that nerve into not itching as much. And the other thing is the vibration, which is exactly why when you scratch vigorously at something, the vibration is set up and it fools the nerve into thinking that you're no longer itchy there. Instead of doing scratching into it with your fingernails and such, if you pat the skin, it may override that itch sensation temporarily.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Antihistamine, is that a helpful?
Antihistamines can help too, but they're fraught with a lot of problems, such as sleepiness, or shouldn't be driving, and shouldn't be drinking alcohol. There are some newer non-sedating ones, and usually we do try to get people an antihistamine too, but I'm underwhelmed with the help with that, unless somebody has it all over their body.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating.
Maybe at night it could be
at
helpful.
Night, absolutely. We usually give it to people at night. Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. Next, we talk with a listener in Chicago. Line one, hi.
Thank you. Could you tell me if there are any procedures now for treating cancer of the skin, such as melanoma or other lesser ones, say with any alternative methods that have come along the line, such as perhaps laser or magnets or anything? Have any of those or any other new ones you've heard of?
Well, if you have had a diagnosed skin cancer, I would not rely on the magnets. Lasers can do surgery depending upon how you are, I'll say, tuning them. So a scalpel surgery, the lasers could mimic that as much, but I don't think offers any advantage. Now, so far as other alternative treatments other than just the regular old surgery, you can have radiation treatments. It's a bit annoying because you have to go back, and it depends upon what kind of cancer. Some are good, that's good for, and others not. But you may not have like the surgical kind of scar left, but you'd have to go back for a number of small little treatments. And depending upon what kind of cancer it is, that can be helpful. There's also a new prescription cream, new for 5 years, that they have tried for very early basal cell skin cancers and some squamous cell skin cancers. It's now available for that. And if a person is persistent and faithful, using it for a couple of months may help some of those kind of cancers go away. I have heard it being used in my literature on a very preliminary, not quite to melanoma, called lenticular maligna. I've heard them using that cream called Aldera on that also. But because if you get a melanoma started, it can be deadly, I would not be using that on my family members or my patients. But that's the newest thing for trying to help skin cancers. If a person cannot endure surgery, there's some reason they can't have it or whatever is going on, they don't wish to have it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. 333-9455, the number in Champaign-Urbana if you'd like to talk with dermatologist Dr. Ann Tice. Anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Well, with that call, perhaps you'd like to talk about your screening that's coming
up. Well, okay, so we were talking about sunscreens earlier, and my current favorite is Neutrogena Ultra Sheer or Dry Touch. They're the same thing, like a 55 or a 57. But there's a couple other new things that I think are very helpful to know about, and they're called antioxidants. It doesn't matter what strength of sunscreen you use. Some light, sunlight, is still going to get through to the skin and basically beat up all the cells there, smack around on the elastic fibers and the DNA and the collagen, which leads to aging, and also it can lead to skin cancer. So it would be nice if we had an antioxidant which would quench that from happening. Antioxidants absorb, I won't get into all this stuff, but anyway, they absorb some of that energy from the ultraviolet light getting through into the skin and tend to protect it. You can, if you have the right kind of vitamin C product, you can prevent some of that damage from happening. There are a lot of things that have vitamin C in them, and they don't do a thing. It may have been good when they stuck it in the bottle, but by the time you open it, all that vitamin C is gone. It's just a nice preservative. There is a product called C.E. Ferulic, F-E-R-R-U-L-I-C, which is made by a company called SkinCeuticals. They have a patent on the stable kind of vitamin C. I would not buy any other vitamin C. But it's vitamin C, vitamin E, and a plant extract called ferulic that has a very good antioxidant capabilities. And there's a new one going to come out, I think, within the next week. That's another antioxidant called Revale, R-E-V-A-L-E. That's made from coffee berry. It's the green part around the coffee fruit. And, of course, everybody's having a wonderful time with that, you know, cup of coffee, put it on your skin. No, it is not the same. But I don't know. I hear the rumor is that the guys picking coffee beans and wherever they were picking them, their hands look great. And I don't know. But it does have some science. It does have science behind it, and it does tend to slow down that oxidation and the damage from it. And there's also a pill called HelioCare, H-E-L-I-O-C-A-R-E, that if you take that about a half hour before you go out in the sun, it may internally lessen the sun damage. That's a derivative from a fern extract, and that was pretty popular in my meeting last February in Washington.
And July 23rd, you've got a...
Oh, July 23rd, I'm doing a free skin cancer screening clinic at the Mettler Center in Champaign.
So for more information, you can call the folks out there.
Well, for a skin cancer screening, they won't know about these other things.
I know that. But that's a good thing to reinforce. Yes,
yeah, because I believe in
cancer screening. It's July 23rd out at Mettler.
July 23rd in the morning. And I do believe in screening for skin cancers, and I do that free.
Okay, let's take at least one more call here. Line 1, Urbana, hi.
Hello. I was reading on the University of Illinois homepage last week that buffalo gnats come out in June. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the buffalo gnat bite. The website said that it can be quite nasty, and I think I may have had some bites like that last week, and they were indeed terrible.
Well, I'm not an entomologist, sorry to say. What happens with the skin is no matter what bites you, be it a mosquito, a flea from the family dog, a regular gnat, or the buffalo gnats, you can get a raised, itchy area. And as we were talking to a listener earlier, adults and more so children can even have a blister on the top of that. I have heard, and this, you know, again, I'm not an entomologist, but I've heard that the gnats, I think it's the same kind, were a pretty big problem up in the Chicago area. They were attacking livestock and such and making some of the animals ill. But I'm getting out on a limb. I don't know that much about that specific creature.
Okay, let's take one more call. Line 4, a listener in Robinson. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share some information that I don't know if the doctor knows about. But the Retin A, it's very, very expensive here in the United States. If you have a prescription, even the generic, I think, is over $100.
But yes, it is.
If you go to Mexico, I've been getting it there for years. It's exactly the same thing, Retin-A 0.05. And I started out at $9, and it's up to $17. Anybody's going to Mexico, you know, for a vacation or something. And you just get it over the counter at Walmart, you know, or anywhere you want to.
I know that. And it's made by the same company. I believe some of my patients have brought it back for many, many years. I cannot legally tell anyone to do that, though. That would be big trouble for me. But I am aware of it, and I have had people do that.
Okay. There, we've got to leave it. We're out of time. Dr. Ann Tice, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Dr. Tice is a dermatologist with the Hada Cosmetic Medicine Clinic in Champaign.